Watching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. It's Tuesday, big Tuesday. Christmas is getting closer. Looks like we got rain coming in Thursday evening. I think our best chance of rain is, Saturday evening and Christmas Day. So Christmas Eve and Christmas Day looks like she's going to be a little wet, which is all right. It's not going to be very cold. Last forecast I seen up to an inch out here in western Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle, and about Clinton, Weatherford west, and then down around Tipton and Grantsfield and Medicine Park down in there. It starts getting heavier, up to 2 to 3 inches for people east of us, so it don't look too bad. 56 degrees at Slap Out, 53 degrees at the May Ranch, 48 at Lahoma, 52 at Cheyenne, home of the Shaker at Weapon, 53 at Hollis, 49 at Mangum, 48 at Hobart, out here in the Panhandle. Let me update this. I hadn't opened it up in a while. There we go. Yeah, it was updated. 50 at Odell, 52 at Wellington, 54 at Dozer, 56 at Miami, and 56 also at Canadian, and 58 at Lipscomb. So anyway, looks like a pretty nice day. It's going to be a little wind day. Must be windy. It's 17 mile an hour wind here at our studio, and usually it's about half of what it is out in the country, so we'll see what's going on. Nothing major going on yesterday. Got some fence fixed. Calves got out on my wheat pasture. A little muddy for that. Got that all fixed. Other than that, got some cows fed. Everything's looking good. Let's see what happened overnight in our agriculture world. Soybean futures were lower in overnight trading and amid improved weather in parts of South America. Rainfall in Brazil, the world's largest exporter of the oil seeds, likely will boost crop prospects this week in areas that have been dry. Precipitation is forecast for several states in the South American country, according to Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist with MaxR. An upturn in rains in northern states this week should improve moisture and crop conditions in Argentina. Meanwhile, excessive rainfall will likely add to concerns about moisture in states of Santa Fe. Wheat futures were a little changed overnight as investors wait strong demand for U.S. supplies against rainfall in the southern plains. Exporters sold 1.49 million metric tons of U.S. wheat to overseas buyers in the 7 days that ended on December 7th, according to the USDA. That's up noticeably from the previous week and the highest since the grain marketing year started on June 1st. Still, as much as 6 times the normal amount of precipitation has fallen in the past week in parts of Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas panhandles, according to the National Weather Service precipitation page. That likely will boost prospects for hard red winter wheat that's overwintering in that area. Soybean futures for January delivery lost 9¾ cents to $13.30¼ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down $2.50 to $398.90 a short ton, while soy oil dropped 0.31 cents to 50.43 cents a pound. Wheat futures for March delivery fell 2 cents in Chicago to $6.15 a bushel. Kansas City futures were down a penny to $6.26¾ a bushel. Corn for March delivery was down 0.75 cents to $4.76¼ a bushel. Let's see what else going on in our whole world here. The export inspections of corn and beans were higher week to week last week, with wheat assessment decline. export inspections for offshore delivery improved to 947,418 metric tons in the 7 years that ended on December 14th. That's up from 725,000 tons a week earlier and the 826,000 tons same time period last year. Soybean assessments, 1.41 million tons, up from 790 tons the previous week, but that's still well below the 1.97 million last year. Wheat inspections last week only totaled 284,792 metric tons, as down from 317,000 tons a week earlier and down from the 304,000 tons a year earlier. There you got it. All right, let's see what's going on with the weather in the Farm Belt. Strong winds are expected in parts of eastern Nebraska and western Iowa today, including western Kansas and western Oklahoma and the Texas and Oklahoma panhandles. Southerly winds will gust up to 40 miles an hour today, according to the National Weather Service. The windy weather will create dry conditions and include the risk of wildfires in Nebraska and Iowa. Dry conditions are also expected for western Missouri. Wind gusts up to 30 miles an hour per hour and low humidities will result in widespread elevated fire danger over there to our neighbor to the east. How about that? Man, did you guys see that? Where is it? That Potsy scheme of $190 million. I got something on it later on in the show. Brandon Hickey will be on with me here in about 5 or 6 minutes to talk about the last couple sales here at Elk City in western Oklahoma. And according to my buddy that I was making fun of yesterday, they got hit in the head with the divider gate in his trailer. He hasn't been hearing any voices lately, but he's still got a headache and he's got a knot over his left eye. He was trying to act tough the other day, but I'm pretty sure that hurt like hell because it knocked him backwards. But anyway, I'm sorry, I'm making fun of him, but you guys just don't know our relationship. Anyway, I know it hurt. I felt sorry for him. I did. I swear. As soon as he got hit with the gate, I said, "Are you okay?" And of course, he lied, and I knew it because I know he was hurting. And after that, it's all fun and games for me. I mean, if he's not going to admit to me that it hurt, and I'll be all right, and I'm not hearing voices, but I knew he was hearing voices, and so anyway, it'll be all right. So let's do a quick update on grains, what they are going for right at this moment. As of 12:01, March corn, 472 down 4. May is 484 down 4. Soybeans for January down 15 at 1311. March 1322 down 18. Soybean meal is down $7.80 at $405 a short ton for January. March is $393.30 down $8.10. Soybean oil for January, $50.68, basically unchanged, if anything, up 0.04 cents. March is unchanged at $50.74. Hard red winter wheat's making a little bit of recovery from yesterday. March is $6.40 up 13. May is $6.44 up 11. And July is $6.48 up 10 cents. So see how that. Cotton's up a little bit today. March is $79.35 up 25. May is $80.15 up 26. And July is $80.67 up 23. Let's see what else going on. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is for January up $1.11 at $73.58. And natural gas is down 0.02 cents to $2.47 for January. And then the NASDAQ, SP, and the Dow, they're all in the green today a little bit. Nothing crazy going on there, even though I know they had record last week. I did read up a little bit about that. It was record high for the stock markets last week, but you got one guy said you also got to remember that you got inflation in there, and so there you got it, whatever that means. I'm not a stock market player, so I'm not very good at that. Well, let me find it. Where is it at? It's got to be this one. Nope, ain't that one. Bear with me a second here. I got four of these up today, and I got to remember which one's which. That ain't it. Let me go back to my email, find it. I got it right here. There it is. Bear with me a second here. There it is. All right. Today is Stockman's Veterinary Clinic happy hour, all hour, and they just renewed with a sponsorship with me today. So anyway, but Stockman's Veterinary Clinic said they would like to take this time in this joyous season to thank all of our clients, customers, and friends for trusting us with your animals and pets for their veterinary care. Wishing you and them a very Merry Christmas and a safe, healthy, and prosperous new year. We greatly appreciate each of you and your business. We are looking forward to another great year. And they have come such a long way in the last 2 years. She's a great vet. We got some great vets in this town. That's all I can tell you. Very good vets in this town. But I've got to watch Dr. Mouse start from the get-go and what she's done and things going on. So it's a pretty good deal up there. And she really cares about your animal. So, from Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, Merry Christmas to the Stockman's Veterinary Clinic, to Dr. Mouse, her mom, Ronnie, all of them that helped there, a Merry Christmas. Anyway, all right, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Veterinary Clinic break. When we come back, if I get a hold of Brandon Hickey, we're going to have an update from yesterday's sale and Friday's sale. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
I say the future is ours! Can you dig it?
Oh, you sure can. Especially if you rent from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. Dig up those old sewer lines with a backhoe or mini excavator. Save time and money. Rent a post-hole digger to help with your next fencing project. You can dig it today when you rent from DJ's Rentals on South Main in Elk City.
Can you dig it?
Find out more, visit DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. That's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton?
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back. Here's your agriculture weather update out here for Wellington, Texas. 53 degrees, humidity's 55, dew point's 37. The winds are out of the south at 14 with gusts up to 18. Peak wind gusts so far today, 25 miles an hour. Month to date, precipitation 3.75 inches, no red flag or sub-freezing minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature at a nice 45 degrees. On the phone with me right at this moment, right now, getting ready to go on his vacation, is Mr. Brandon Hickey.
Good afternoon.
World famous Brandon Hickey. So anyway,
my world is pretty small.
Yeah, hey, that's all right, as long as you're famous. But anyway, maybe I can get you to help me make funny Donnie Walker here a little bit, since he got hit in the head with a gate the other day. We're bringing those calves over to you.
Yeah.
I know it's cruel to make fun of an old man like him that gets hit, but
hopefully the calves brought enough money to ease that pain a little bit.
Hey, I did get an immediate call. What was funny was, is I called him after the show because I knew his calves had been sold by then, and he went out to the truck yesterday to listen to the show because his calf, because he got there too late, if I understand him right, and to watch his calf sell. But anyway, he got out there just in time to his truck to hear me making fun of him. So
what a day.
I mean, that's just great timing. But well, let's get started with Elk City. Not a big sale, but not a bad one at all, don't look like.
Yeah, we had a nice little run, few less than what we was expecting, but there was just a lot of cattle that just couldn't get there with all the mud that we had. What a wonderful rain for December, and it just had everything kind of where we couldn't get as many cattle to us as what they was planning on. But the cow deal, our special cow deal there Friday night, the bred cows were really on fire, and the bred heifers and pairs wasn't as high as I expected them to be before. There was sure lots of buyers in there for the bred cows that we had.
Yeah, they were. I had a couple calls wondering where I was, and I apologize for not making it, but I ended up right after the show going home, loading the bird dog up and changing clothes. My buddy from Chicago was leaving Saturday morning, so I wanted to spend the afternoon with him, and then we ended up at Back Saddle Bar eating some calf fries and cut taters, and then that's when I started getting the calls from your place, where are you at? And I was like, oh, boy.
So, totally different date night than what you led us all to believe last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm sure both of them would have been good. So as far as, like, the girl and boy calves, as you call them, Friday, what was the prices like? They looked like they was all right.
They were. They took a little jump from the previous week again, and even with the smaller numbers, there was quite a bit of action in the barn. Quite a bit of lots of players in the barn wanting the calves, especially the lightweight ones. But all classes had taken a little jump from the previous week. Even the bigger cattle, those 5 and 6 weights that we talked was a little bit softer the week before. Well, they'd taken a little jump back up there. And had nice upswing going on in the futures board again finally, and that was putting a little optimism in the deal and getting to the end of the year. We had a nice sale, had a good market, and like I say, the lightweight cattle still, just like we talked about before, just absolutely on fire. Just haven't they haven't even hardly noticed that the futures board has went down. But the big cattle were the big calves and, off the cows. You know, the 5 and 6 weights, a little bit bigger than what they're wanting to go to wheat with had definitely showed some improvement.
Right, and man, I'm looking over here on the right side of your report that I get from you, and the heifers were doing awesome, but you had a lot of weaned heifers in there Friday.
We did. Had a lot of really weaned, really fancy weaned heifers. You know, had some guys in there again looking for some replacements. It's only about the second or third time that's happened this fall, but there was some guys in there looking for some replacements, and they were definitely willing to give something for the front end winged ones.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what January brings on.
Yes,
the heifers especially. I mean, the whole cattle market, we want to see what happens, but it seems like people are starting to pick up a few replacements here and there.
Yeah, you're starting to see it happen a little bit. It's really still not, I don't think we're still retaining enough to offset the number of old cows that we're getting rid of, but it is starting to happen a little bit. And you know, we're starting to see some more of that old bred cows, some of those actually getting to go back to the country for a short term, you know, get another calf out of them type of a deal. So glad to see that, too, to put a few more calves back in the supply line coming down the road in a few months.
Right, yep. And then, of course, the butcher cows and butcher bulls, they were right in there where they have been and looked like they're not going nowhere. And then coming into Friday night on your special female sale, looked like everything went, I mean, they were doing good, looks like.
Yeah, they did good. You know, the front end cows, you know, the front end bred cows kind of in a range from 24 to 26.50. The bred cows the pairs from 21 to 25, didn't have a whole lot of bred heifers, but they bring from 21.50 to 22.
Yep, and then your next sale at Elk City will be January 5th, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, and then everybody can start bringing them in the third and fourth and get them there and get back, because I failed to bring 10 head into Elk City last week because guess what? It was too muddy. I can't even get a bale of hay to them. So.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, got a new quote for you because I told you you were famous, you know. So somebody on the text line just texted in, everybody's famous in a small town. So there you go. There's some other smart aleck out there besides me.
Yeah. Some of us are famous and some of us are infamous.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, yesterday, Clinton, 1,042 head, pretty good run.
Did have a good run. Had mostly feeder cattle, not as many calves, but the lightweight calves that we did have, boy, they were really on fire. Had a new buyer or two show up that on them lightweight boy cattle and really had them things up there high. But we had a good run of feeder cattle. And man, we had some 8-weight steers all the way back up there at 225 and a half. Was really glad to see that. That's a big improvement. There was lots of optimism, a lot more bidders. In the barn, the heifers, the feeder heifers, hadn't jumped quite as much as the good front end feeder steers had, but again, still more optimism. That nice jump in the futures board there yesterday, right before we started our sale, and got some bids upped a little bit on some of them order buyers, and was very happy with the results yesterday. We had. Like I said, had a large percentage of feeder cattle and not as many calves and not hardly any cows, which was very unusual. Our cow numbers were very low yesterday, but the feeder cattle deal was definitely better. And saw probably, you know, the biggest jump on the steers. Like I said, the six and 8-weight steers showed the biggest improvement, but there was improvement across the board on the heifers as well.
Yeah, when you got 807 weights bringing 225.50. What's that? Almost $1,700 a head or more. And yeah, so that's pretty good. Cause I did, Mr. You know who that had cattle over there yesterday. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going over there.
Yeah.
And I called him a couple hours for the show, and I said, "You're going to hit a home run today because the feeder's already up $3 Really?
Yep.
And anyway, he said, good deal. And then all of a sudden, he says, I'm on my way anyway. So he was on his way over there. But I got to say it just because he's a good friend of mine. He said that's the most he's got out of any cattle of his ever before.
Yeah.
And then that's awesome. And then I thought, what about 2015? He said, I got out of the cow business that year, so he didn't have any. So that explained that one. But anyway, so tell the listeners, a lot of people ask me, and they'll believe it more coming from you, is when we talk about calves and feeders, what weight is your divider?
Well, it's not so much of a weight as it is an age.
Okay.
Typically, anything over 650 is going to go to the feedlot and is considered to be a feeder, but that's not always the truth. For instance, a 650 weight calf, which our genetics are so good now that a lot of these guys, wean calves off their cows weighing, 600, 700, even up in the 750s. Well, those are still calves. Those are still stocker calves. They're not feeder cattle because their age is not to the point yet that the feedlots are willing to take them because they haven't had enough time on them yet. And so, really and truthfully, your difference between the stocker calf and the feeder calf is really more of an age than it is a weight. But a lot of those calves that weight, they're not going to go back out to pasture on those big 650 to 750 weight calves off the cows. They're not going to go back to pasture, but they're going to somebody's starting yard or growing yard or just into somebody's program that basically turn them in from a calf, a stocker calf, into a feeder just by putting some more time and more age on them. So it's really more age than it is because you'll from time to time, if the pasture's not available, you'll see a lot of five weight calves go directly into the yard if they've got enough weaning time and age on them. They'll go directly into the yard instead of going into a pasture program, in those times when there's pasture not as available as other times. So it's really more of an age than it is a weight, but typically in most instances, 650 and up is going to be your feeder cattle, and below that's going to kind of be your stocker cattle. But there are exceptions to that rule when it comes to the age.
I got you. Well, your next sale at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be January 8th. So that's a couple weeks off. And I just want to take time to thank you for being a big part of the Day in Ag with me. And Merry Christmas to you and your family. Tell your mom and dad Merry Christmas and enjoy your time off. And I guess we'll talk to you here in a couple weeks.
Sounds great. Appreciate the invite. And Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you.
All right. Thanks, Brandon. Have a good one.
You bet.
All right. That's Mr. Brandon Hickey with the Elk City Livestock Auction and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Had a couple good sales this week, even if it is the week before. Can't wait till the sale after New Year's. That's going to be a good one. That seems to be a really good sale right after that. So, anyway, and then the cafe will be open back up out here at Elk City, so I can go out there and harass the ladies again. No, anyway, well, let's take a Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic break. When we come back, we'll talk some more agriculture.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is far more than just a cattle show. See for yourself December 30th through January 11th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sales of elite genetics, something for every operation. And stop by on January 4th or 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale information, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 18th. 1,042 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 431 brought 313. 6 at 486 brought 279. 3 at 572 brought 239. 25 at 680 brought 241. 4 at 705 brought 235. 7 at 765 brought 233. 5 head of heifers at 442 brought 245, 20 at 631 brought 216, 15 at 644 brought 220, 6 at 698 brought 205, 20 at 727 brought 206, 39 at 829 brought 194, butcher cows were 58 to 112, butcher bulls brought 88 to 117, bred cows were 1360 to 2025. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign, call Mr. Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Picked a big town of Alva, Oklahoma. Currently it's 53, feels like 53. 36 on dew point, 53 on humidity. Winds are out of the south-southwest at 20 miles an hour with wind gust up to 28. 24-hour rainfall, 0. 10-day rainfall, 1.30 inches of rain. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 42 degrees. Fractional water, 1.0. Sunset, 5:21. Today, breezy, 57. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 42. Tomorrow, really beautiful day. Might be a good golfing day. 64 degrees with light winds out of the south, 8 to 12 miles an hour. So there's your update, agriculture update for Alva, Oklahoma. All right, let's get back to the market real quick. Quick update on what the live cattle and feeders are doing here right at the moment. I've been watching them all morning, and they've been up and down a little bit. Nothing major going on, though. They're pretty stable. December 168.95, up 12 cents. February 169.30, down 32. April 173.30, down 20. Feeder cattle for January 222.45, up 70. Down 72 cents. March is 223.75, down 40. April is 228.52, down 10 cents. And May is 232.82, up 10 cents. I got that one right. Lean hogs just changed on me. February 70.65, down 92 cents. April 77.55, down a buck 02. May 84.35, down a half a dollar. And June lean hogs 92.80, down 52 cents. And there we go. All right, let's get to this story that's just crazy. The Security and Exchange Commission has obtained a temporary restraining order, asset freeze, the appointment of a receiver, and other emergency relief to halt an ongoing $191 million cattle potsy scheme by Texas-based Agridime LLC, which claims to specialize in meat sales, distribution, and animal supply chain management, and its owners, Josh Link, age 30, of Gilbert, Arizona, and Jed Wood, age 62, of Fort Worth, Texas. The SEC alleges that the defendants diverted millions of dollars in investor funds to make Ponzi payments and pay undisclosed sales commissions to themselves and others. The defendants enticed investors with guarantees that they could make money raising cattle without having to do all the work. But as we allege in our complaint, their promises of annual returns of 15 to 32% were, in the defendant's own words, too good to be true, says Eric Werner, director of the SEC's Fort Worth regional office. According to the SEC's complaint filed on December 11, 2023 in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas and unsealed on December 13th, the defendants have raised at least $191 million from more than 2,100 investors in at least 15 states by offering and selling investments related to the supposed purchase and sale of cattle. Hang on with me. I'm curious. I should have done this before. $191 million divided by 2,100. That's average. That looks like about $100,000 a pop from them investors. One contract scenario allowed an investor to purchase a calf for $2,000. After a year, Agridime said it would buy back the same cattle at higher prices to provide a specific guaranteed investment return. Agridime told investors it would use funds to purchase, feed, finish, process, and sell specific cattle. Instead, Agridime diverted the funds to make Ponzi payments to prior investors and had not purchased enough cattle to fulfill its cattle contracts. Agridime's investors did not actually invest it specifically identifiable animals, the complaint notes. Instead, the success of their investments depends on the success of Agridime's purported cattle operation, including its ability to attract new investors. The SEC complaint further notes that since at least 2023, August that is, Agridime offered a new contract option selecting investments on its website of $4,500 for the purchase of one bred cow in Agridime's supply chain and for Agridime to feed the cow until it gives birth to a calf. The cow will remain on Agridime's ranches and will be fed and cared for during this time. Under this contract, the investor still did not take delivery of any cattle and assumed no responsibility for their care or feeding. The complaint alleges that since December of 2022, the defendants have used at least $58 million of new investor funds to make Ponzi payments to prior investors and more than $11 million to pay undisclosed sales commissions to Wood, Link, Link's wife, and other Agridime sales representatives. Woo, man, I mean, this, and then I'll finish up with her here real quick. The SEC complaint further relays Agridime has violated cease and desist orders issued earlier this year by Arizona and North Dakota by continuing to sell its securities in fraudulent unregistered transactions in those states. Agridime sold more than $1 million of cattle contracts to Arizona residents and more than $9 million to North Dakota residents since the issuance of the state's order. Further, on October 18th of this year, an Agridime salesman in Arizona admitted under oath that he had continued to sell cattle contracts from Arizona. So, anyway, the SEC's ongoing investigation is being conducted by enforcement staff and SEC's Fort Worth and Atlanta regional offices with assistance from Arizona Corporation Commission, the North Dakota Securities Department, the Oklahoma Department of Securities, and the Texas State Departments of Texas State Security Board. Man, I hate to say that there's been a couple more things going on in the last 3, 4, 5 years. There was another deal earlier this year from a guy in Texas on kind of the same thing. They didn't have enough cattle to cover what they'd sold and all this stuff. So anyway, just basically what this story is telling you, be really positive of what you're invested in and track everything you can if you do own cattle. So there you have it. Well, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Veterinary Clinic break. When we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden agriculture update for one of these cities down there in southwestern Oklahoma. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Sugar Creek Casino presents country music group Blackhawk returns Saturday, December 30th. Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center.
No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.
Special guest Confederate Railroad.
Tonight I fell in love with the Queen of Memphis.
Blackhawk with Confederate Railroad at Sugar Creek Casino. Get your tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at sugarcreekcasino.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup, four different sized dumpsters, there's no contracts or hidden fees, and they have affordable rates. Your satisfaction is always top priority at D&G Trash Hauling. For more information, give them a call at 580-497-1234. That's 580-497-1234. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group. 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. Mangum, Oklahoma, it's 51 degrees, dew point's 37, humidity's 59. The winds are out of the south at 19 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 2.71 inches. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 46. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, down. And nothing there, zero. Sunset, 5:29. Mostly cloudy today, 58 degrees, south winds, 18 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 42 degrees, tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 63 degrees, and be a little windier down here than up north, 12 to 15 miles an hour with gusts up to 20 and 25 at Mangum tomorrow. So there you have it. Okay, today is Heyday Tuesday. Let's see what's going on with the any prices. I looked at them earlier, and I think they're pretty much what they've been for the last couple, 2-3 weeks. On alfalfa hay, premium alfalfa, the ones that have been reported, the sales have been reported. Looks like in Kansas, 270 to 325. Good alfalfa in Kansas, 200 to 300 at 300 being delivered. Missouri, 200 to 300. And on premium and good, 150 to 200. Oklahoma, 180 to 220 on premium, both those delivered. 180 delivered on good. And Texas, 320 to 425, both those delivered on premium and on good. 310 to 340, both those being delivered. Looks like New Mexico, nothing happened over there. Yep, nothing on New Mexico. So it looks like Missouri and Oregon, highest alfalfa in the country as of right now. Grass hay prices from the USDA from selected states here. Looks like, man, there was no sales in California, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Nebraska, Washington, Wyoming. So I think things are kind of, this weather's been kind of, you know, just everything's just not normal for this time of the year. Anyway, Kansas, 180 to 250 a ton on premium grass, 90 to 240. On good, that 240 being delivered. Missouri's 225 on premium, 150 to 175 on good. Oklahoma, 185 delivered, and 150 to 175 delivered on good. Down here in Texas, 280 to 330 on premium grass, and 185 to 300 on good. None of those had a deep buy them, so I'm just guess outright sales. Looks like the winner of high price hay right now is Oregon at 355 a ton, but Texas is not too far behind there at 330 a ton. And there is your update on that. Okay, some other news in hay. There we go. Milk production in the United States was down 0.6% in November, totaling 18.1 million or billion pounds, according to the USDA's milk production report. That was the fifth consecutive month-over-year production declines. The number of milk cows on farms in the United States dropped at a three-year low to 9.36 million head in November. This puts the national dairy herd 10,000 head behind October and 44,000 head fewer than November of 2022. And there you have it. And then, anyway, I was reading in my hay and forage deal, and I come across this chart that I would like to share with you guys. We've got a little bit of time here. Liming, or the application of agricultural lime to soil, is a practice aimed at adjusting soil acid levels. In North Florida, where acid soils are common, this becomes just part of your successful crop management, basically. Many crops and forages perform better at a soil pH above 5.5. The target pH in different row crops is provided in this table that I'm going to read off to you. Therefore, liming helps to get the soil pH to the optimum range, improving the availability of nutrients to the plants and improving crop yield quality. And me, on my farmland, I don't have that problem. What I got a problem is that high pH, so we have to use chip to lower it down. But just to go across some of these crops and what the target pH is: corn, 6.5, cotton, 6.5, peanuts, 6.0, soybeans, 6.5, triticale, oats or rye for grain or silage, 6.0, hemp, fiber seed or flour, 6.5 to 7.5, wheat for grain, 6.0, warm season legumes or legumes grass mixture, 6, and cool season legumes or legumes grass mixture, 6.5, and improved perennial grass, 5.5. So there you have it. Here's what they said in this report, though. The frequency and quality of liming depends on the soil's traits and how it's managed. Factors like nitrogen fertilizer and organic material decrease soil pH. Regular soil testing becomes crucial to monitor pH levels and fertility status accurately. These routine tests offer insights into soil pH and suggest appropriate lime application rates. Repeating soil tests every 3 years help catch an emerging fertility issue. That's the only thing on this whole report that I read that I just don't agree with. I think your soil tests need to be done at least once a year, if not more, especially if you're double cropping. So anyway, and then get back to this liming deal. The timing of lime application is crucial for its effectiveness. While lime can be applied throughout the year, incorporating it during periods where there's less rainfall allows for better absorption and distribution within the soil. Fall and early spring are often preferred times for liming, enabling the lime to gradually neutralize acid before planting season begins. In conclusion, liming is a fundamental practice for maintaining soil health and optimizing crop production in North Florida, for example, by considering factors such as soil testing, lime selection, application, timing and techniques, and ongoing monitoring, farmers can make informed decisions that promote sustainable agriculture while maximizing yields. So there you go. Hey, and this is to you gardeners out there. Soil testing your garden is not a bad thing at all. It doesn't cost that much. Depending on what soil test you get, but your average soil test, I think, is what, $14, $15. And then, like, the ones I get from my soil test are, like, $54. But I'm looking for a lot more than probably what a gardener would be looking for. But anyway, garden, get soil test. You know, there's some people a couple years ago come up to me and said they hadn't been able to raise tomatoes in 5 or 6 years. Well, their pH was off. And once they adjusted their pH, guess what? They're back to raising tomatoes. Anyway, hey, I got a quick question for you. I should have asked it earlier and I didn't. Have you guys noticed the rats and the mice this year are a little more plentiful than normal? And tomorrow, I guess I'll just wait till tomorrow and you guys can text in different ways that you guys take care of rats in your equipment, around the barns, in the vehicles, because this guy said they've been hammered. And I know we got a lot of them out where I live too. And even with all the cats, we still got a major problem. So anyway, tomorrow I'll ask that question because I want share that with a lot of people. Not here at the end of the show. How about that? Let's see here. Okay. Real quick, kind of review what's happened. I got this from Texas A&M AgriLaw, and we got a couple minutes here just to go over some of what are the things that happened. This gentleman here said, I'm always amazed when I sit down and look at all the agriculture law news over the last year. 2023 was no exception, and there was no shortage of news in the ag law realm. The waters of the United States, WOTUS, as we know it, under the Clean Water Act. You know, in January, Biden's administration's definition was published, and then states, this I didn't know, the states that filed lawsuit against him, everything got put on hold, but the states that didn't file lawsuit against him on WOTUS, against him and the EPA, they had to abide by him. I didn't know it until I read this deal from Texas A&M AgriLife Laws deal here, which is crazy. But anyway, so then the Supreme Court in May did their deal. So the ones that filed lawsuit, you know, they had to rewrite all the stuff for them, which they've done. But the states that didn't file a lawsuit, same thing. Even no matter what the Supreme Court said, they still had to abide by President Biden's new decisions from the EPA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. So it's revised it. But in November, several of the lawsuits challenging the initial Biden rule were amended to now focus on the Biden rule issued in September. So challenges keep this thing far from over, people. It's going to keep going. And then speaking of the Supreme Court, the justice decided the National Pork Producers Council visit Ross. It challenged the constitution law on California Proposition 12. That got thrown out. And then more about foreign agriculture, land ownership laws, and endangered species. Hey, they did turn out 5 wolves in northern Colorado today. No matter, and the Colorado Wildlife Department didn't approve of it, but it's pretty crazy. So they did turn out some wolves today, with 15 more to go in the next few months. See you guys tomorrow. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.
I actually kind of like it.
KEZO.